Sermon study number R2R21. The sixth message, titled Spiritual Tabernacle, was given at a Sunday school service, February
12th, 1961. He's a tired as well, and that's when you come to bless you and call you all. I like that song we sang in Sunday school this morning, one of my favorites. He has my soul. And we sang that the family, he had most of his soul. And the flesh of the rock, he saw it full. I can think about the time he hit my soul. In the flesh of the rock, now he was full. There's nobody like Jesus. Now we're trying to get started here in our lesson of in Matthew. We're trying to finish what we call the spiritual tabernacle. As I told you before, it's laid out in form of a cross. It's like the Lord gave the tabernacle to Moses. And like God started with Moses at the head of the ark and worked all the way down to the feet of the brazen altar, the place where the blood was. And so we find the same pattern here in Matthew. Jesus started in the blessed ram, that sacred ram, that mature ram, getting grown up in God where we can rejoice in persecution and shout and leap for joy when people say all manner of evil against us, falling again to the place to where we can love our enemies and bless our enemies and do good for them that persecute us and all of those things, pray for them. Well, that belongs to the head ram. We're working on it, but we want to get to that place to where our hearts will just be filled with the love of Jesus, and we'll never have a wrong thought or wrong attitude, because beloved, to be like Jesus, that's the way Jesus was. Isn't that right? Jesus never had a wrong thought, a wrong attitude, a wrong disposition toward anybody. And so the hardest thing to do is to keep the disposition right.
Amen.
Spirit right. Keeping the heart right. And so we've been studying here in the spiritual tabernacle, and we are here at the table of showbread side as to what would be the place that Moses tabernacle. And we showed you here in this part of Matthew how that we had two little statues. Last night some of the children were asking me why we put things around the cross. I said, well, that's the way it's laid out in the Word. And then I gave them scriptures and made them go do a little digging for themselves, and they had to come up with the same answer, that the Word is Jesus. Isn't that right? It says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I said, now He's the living Word, and this written Word has been given to describe the living Word.
Amen.
And this written Word, God, get all this living Word. Is that clear to you? And over we find the Word of God laid out in the form of a cross. Giving us pictures over and over of the living Word. And so we've been studying here, and we see these dual crosses of truth here in this portion of the spiritual tabernacle. We've already studied one of them, and they're pictures of those two rows of bread there on the table of showbread. There were two rows, six in each row. Six is the number of man. And that bread, of course, was a picture of Jesus, the living bread. And so it speaks of his crucified flesh and his resurrected flesh. We've got to have both of them. So we was learning about the crucified Christ here, and we learned that he had the bread of purity. Did we learn that? How that he wants our hearts pure, and he doesn't want any inward thoughts of adultery or fornication. He said if a man looks on a woman to lust after in his heart, he's already committed adultery. And that don't just go for the men, that goes for a woman too. God wants your heart and your mind clean and pure. You feed on the bread of the Christ. crucified Christ, he'll work that purity of heart and mind and thought inside your soul. And then we learned about the bread of humility, didn't we? As we eat of this bread here, we'll be able to be reconciled to our adversary, like he said there in the Word. We'll be able to be reconciled unto our brother. And so how we need the bread of humility, feed on the bread of his humility, that we might humble ourselves and be willing to have God form the ministry of reconciliation inside of our hearts. And then we learned the next thing was self-control or confidence. The bread of confidence or the bread of self-control, because that's what confidence means, being able to control yourself. And someone was here, and they know that I wasn't just making up my sermon to preach at them that Wednesday night, because that was just the next step in the tabernacle. But they had a little trouble with self-control that day. So after listening to the Word, I saw them again not too long after that, and I said, well, how's things going? They said, well, you ought to know how things are going. You ought to know what I had to do after that sermon the other night. They called back and apologized for losing control of the self. And I know it had to be a testimony. Unless if we meet in the bread of humility, we can't go back and apologize. Pride won't let you do it. Pride won't let you humble yourself. And then the next one, we learned about the bread of obedience. Is that right, huh? The bread of obedience. Oh, how wonderful. You know, it just breaks your heart. How many ministers there are in the day in which we live that can't seem to humble themselves and be obedient. Lord, I want to be obedient unto the Lord. I want to be obedient to the truth. Wherever he brings the truth and through whomever he brings the truth, I want to obey the truth. Because if you really mean business with Jesus, you'll want to obey the truth. And so now that's the brand of the crucified Christ here. Because surely he walked and proved his purity, and he proved his humility, he proved his self-control, and he proved his obedience unto God. As we eat of him, it'll work that same nature in us, transforming us into the image of the dear Son. And then we want to study and begin this morning with the bread of the resurrected Christ. And the first thing will be love. I gave you this before. This whole factor here of the resurrected Christ, it'll work a love in us. And it'll work a burning flame in us. You'll see it as we go on. It'll work a shine, a fire within us. And we talk about the salt of the Word. And I said, brother, you know why people are not thirsty for the Word? The ministers are not getting the salt in the bread. Of the Word of God and dropping it in the hearts of people. When you begin to get a little salt of the bread of God sprinkled upon your soul, you begin to get thirsty and want to go on for God. And that's why the Word said, let your conversation be seasoned with salt. He's not talking about that. Your thoughts, but let me want our conversation, our behavior, our talking, our acting, filled up with the bread of the Word of God, and it'll have salt in it. It'll make somebody hungry for Jesus. I don't care. You don't have to worry about giving service to God. If you just get in the holy place and feed on him and get the salt of his bread, you just shine, you just lean wherever you go, and this salt is pouring out through you in your conversation, in your talk. Where he goes, makes people hungry and thirsty. Oh my, I'm so glad. And so this is a picture of what the resurrected Christ will do for us. Shedding his love into our hearts, shedding that burden into our hearts, shedding that shine into our hearts and the thought. There's so many wonderful things to study. And so this morning we want to study about love through the commandments of the Lord. Now let's take that portion in the fifth chapter here. The next commandment here in the spiritual tabernacle begins in verse 17 through 19. And let's look at it here. He said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. He said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so, as you see, in order to do something and to teach it, we have to love it. Oh, we have to love it. There's a lot of people that are saying, do as I say, but not as I do. Did you know that? There's a lot of ministers this morning in the pulpit that they're liking their people and they're trying to teach their people and make them walk in a way that they themselves are not even walking. And that was the trouble with the Pharisees. They were putting a yoke upon the neck of the people and trying to make them walk in a way that they themselves were not walking. And so, beloved, God expects his leaders. It's a tremendous responsibility to be a leader and a servant of God and have a responsibility of setting an example before people. And that's why the word said, be not many masters or teachers, because your condemnation is going to be greater. You're not going to have to only answer for your own soul, but you're going to have to answer for the souls of the people that you're leading and set an example as before. And so if there was any way that my flesh could get out of this day, before now, I would have gotten out. And I tried to get out because it's a serious responsibility. But I want to please them this morning, and I want to be an example of them, my people. So when you stand before the Lord, you can't say, Sister Hicks, you didn't tell me, and you didn't set the example before me. And I was talking to one of them once year. I don't know this past week. Don't even remember who it was. The other night, about 12 o'clock, somebody had been breaking in her home there when she went in for church the other night. And God warned her. She saw the lock broke off of one of the doors. And the presence of Jesus come down on her. She began to plead the blood. God told her not to go in that house. They were there, ready to wait on her. And so she went upstairs to her sister-in-law. After a while, she heard him go out and slam the door. Listen, God will take care of you if you're serving. I never worry about God taking care of him since I surrendered this whole body to him. You know why people get afraid in circumstances and situations? Because they have been a but they have a place in somebody on the altar and willing to go out of this world in whatever form, fashion, or way that he ordains and esteems as a good way for you to go out. And I remember I began to learn this lesson when my husband was going to the Second World War, and I was alone there and with my baby. And you, there's a fear that comes upon me. God began to teach me to surrender myself unto him. And when you get willing to die in whatever time, whatever way that God wants you to do, there won't be no more fear in your soul. And so we went back and told her that little secret, that little message. I said, I'm not going to pray for you tonight. Now, you do your own praying. I can't make this surrender, but you can. And she come happy as a lark. The other night, she said, Sister, I went in and did just what she told me to. And then I laid down and slept like a baby. Oh, I said, and she said, it works. And I said, yeah, I know it does. I wouldn't have told you about it if I didn't know that it works. And so, beloved, we get victory over a lot of things by surrendering to the will of God. When the devil comes to torment you with a thought, surrender to that. If God wanted me to do that, well, I'll be glad to do that for Jesus, seeing how he suffered so much for me. Now, let's go back to the love of the commandment. So, I want to ask you a question. If you were going to go into the Word of God to find somebody as an example for you, of someone who loved the commandments of God, I want who and where you would go to. Wow. Tell me this morning, does anybody know? Huh? Sister Mary said she would go to David. All right, where back would you go then, Mary?
Well, the 119th Psalm.
All right, so she said she'd go to the 119th Psalm. All right, let's go to the 119th Psalm with her and see if we can find an example there in David's life about the commandments. Now, we find David had an experience here. Oh, I tell you, you can't get away from this cause. some of the children were asking last night, just think what he put all the word around the cross for. Because that word fits. Everywhere I look, that's what I see. I don't see nothing but the cross of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation, and it just turned my soul. It just turns my soul upside down. Every time I see a new cross, it's like I never had seen the cross before. I just get so thrilled and excited. Amen. And then I learned what Paul said. I'm determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and His crucified. If you can just find the cross from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find all wisdom and all treasure, not all knowledge hid inside of that cross. Everything you need is hid in the cross of Jesus. Amen. And so we find, beloved, that if you love the commandments, it's going to touch your will. Now there's a little cross of truth there under His will. And I'm just going to mark it down there. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can make your own cross. Go with me to the 32nd verse. David has a wonderful revelation about the commandments. He said, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Yes. Praise God. Oh, so he did his will. You got to make up your mind. You've got a will to run. Did you know that? Amen. Nobody else can take care of your will but yourself. You've got the will to run in the way of God. Yes. Amen. And so one little girl was saying last night in young people's the prayer meeting, she was asking us to pray, and she said, Sister, I know that my father is lost and I'm dying, and I know he's not going to be in this world long. And she said, I know I'm supposed to be a testimony to it, but that just seems like I can't live at home. Like I know that Jesus wants me to. Seems like I don't pray. Seems like I can't study the Word of God. It just seems like I can't get up and get going. Beloved, you've got to turn your will over to God. If you don't have the will to do it, you can pray, Lord, make me willing. I'm willing for you to make me willing. That's the first step. If you don't have the determination and the will to run, you can say, Lord, I'm willing for you to form and to control my will and give me a determination to run in the way of your commandments. Praise this wonderful name. We've already learned some of the commandments there. Are you willing this morning to run in the way of purity? Are you willing to run in the way of humility? Are you willing to run in the way of self-control? Are you willing to run in the way of obedience? That's what David is talking about there. And so his will to run spoke of his zeal. How much zeal have you got? But you haven't got very much spiritual zeal. You might have a lot of fleshly zeal, but you haven't got much spiritual zeal until you get willing to run. Did you know that? That's right. All right, let's hurry on real quick. I'll move on down to verse 47. And you'll find that David had delight in his will, delighted there in the commandments. On down in verse 47. And he said, I will delight myself. It's an act of your will. Sometimes you don't feel like delighting. Sometimes the flesh don't feel like delighting. But if your will is surrendered to God, you just get up and you say, I will delight in the Lord. Thank God. Sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. Sometimes I don't feel like teaching. But I get up and I say, I will go. I will delight myself in the Lord. Oh my. And when I get to the house of God, I believe Him that I am going to delight in Him. And I believe that I will delight when I get here. And it's not long until it'll be a song or a prayer or a testimony. If nothing else, Bob, just drop it out of the suit. But this morning when I sat out over there and started playing, He hired a song. My soul in the clamp of the rock. The power of God descended upon me, and His presence was loosened within me. I forgot all about how I felt because I will delight in His commandments. Sometimes the flesh don't delight in being controlled. Sometimes the flesh don't delight in obedience. Sometimes the flesh don't delight in humility. But beloved, I will delight. I will. Let's look on down in verse 48. We see the third thing there. His surrender. Oh my, look at all these things that you're going to have if you get a hold of your will and let God convert your will concerning His commandments. Let's look down in verse 48. He said, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. Isn't that precious? Now I've taught you what lifted up hands is a symbol of. I lifted up my hands for years because I come across it in the Word. Even before I ever came among Pentecostal people and knew they lifted up their hands, I did it alone many years there before Jesus in my prayer closet because I found it in His Word, and I wondered why it was pleasing to Him. I didn't know why I didn't want to lift up my hands, but I began to feel the power of God moving on my head like a halo. That was my first experience in the power of God. I said, oh, this is wonderful. I don't know why that the Lord wants me to raise my hands, but I know it pleases Him. I learned that. That was one of the first things. After many years, Jesus taught me and showed me that lifting up the hands forms the cross and was a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross and felt surrender. I will lift up my hands unto thy commandments. Be careful how you come and lift up your hands unto God because you're saying, Lord, I will surrender. And be careful that none of them hush up by you. That when you go out that door, that you go out doing your own will and your own way, and unless that you tell a lie and be a hypocrite before God. When you come and lift up your hands at me, Lord, I will surrender. I will do what you want me to do. I will let you have your way.
Why?
I will lift up my hands to the bread of humility. I will lift up my hands to the bread of self-control. I will lift up my hands to the bread of His obedience. Oh my, when you do that, there's a love that flows in your soul that nothing else can compare to in all of this world. All right. And then all down in 115, you find something else. Hear about His will, beloved. In 115, I think, is what I want. Yes, He said, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of God. And so He said, I will keep. That speaks of determination, doesn't it? Hanging on. You know, sometimes you've got to be like a little bulldog in this thing of going on for God. If there wasn't a struggle and a race and a battle and a victory to be won, the Lord wouldn't have warned us these words. Hold fast, ye crown. Let somebody else take it. Oh, you've got to hold on to it, beloved. Because the devil is there like a roaring lion. Oh, he'll cheat you and he'll rob you on every corner. And he'll come through every circumstance, every situation, every person possible. But you've got the will. You've got to determine. Your will has got to be converted to where you say, I will keep it. Let everything else go. Let me be stripped of everything else. Let everything else fall. Jesus, I will keep it. I will hold on to it.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes, beloved, listen, as I tell you all the time, that when God gives you something, and it's so precious, and it's so wonderful, and it's such a jewel of truth, and revelation, and experience in God, sometimes when you go out, and that was the first thing I told you that I had to learn. That was my first surprise that I got when I started on with Jesus. It was so wonderful that it just was turning me upside down and it was working me over on the inside. And I thought everybody else would be just as thrilled to see it and hear it. I thought they'd just clutch it. Oh, when I tell them about something in the Word. But the first surprise that I ever got, to my consternation and amazement, I found the beloved sitting upon it and despising it and trampling it under feet and marring it up. And I look at it and I think, well, is that the thing that I rejoice so about God? It was so beautiful to me. Oh, beloved, listen, we've got to get to the place. Oh, hallelujah, that when people sit on the Word of God and they spit upon the experience that God has given you, that you won't belittle it because they've been listening. There's a pride in our place that we want to be on the popular bandwagon and we'll see things real good if everybody else is going along the same way. But, beloved, you've got to come to the place and let God work your will over, that don't everybody else spit upon the precious commandments of the bread of humility and obedience and all of that, that you still receive it for the treasure that it is, and you say, I'll keep it.
it. I'll hold on to it. I won't let anybody snatch it away. Sometimes the devil will try to snatch it by spitting on the thing that God has given you to make you belittle it. Make the pride inside of you belittle it. You've got to learn to thank God and think straight spiritually if you're going to go on for God. And I'm going to tell you something. The crowds are not going this way this morning. But God is moving. And if there's been anything that God has cried and interceded and prevailed through me through the years, has been for God to raise up a people that will be sincere for it. And the people that will go in the crucified way. I'm so tired of the sham and the frontiness of the religious world today. If God told Israel they're worshiping with their mouth, but their hearts are far from it. Oh, beloved, God would rather have heart worship than anything else. In fact, if your heart's not in it, He won't have it. Did you know that?
Amen.
God's working and God's moving. I want to tell you, God's going to have the people in this last day. And He's a moving and a working. And they're coming out too. And they're going to have to come out if they want to go home for God and get married to Jesus. Leave man's government and run the thing alone and take Jesus as your king and take Jesus as your governor and let the Holy Ghost minister that government to your heart and your life. Oh my, it's so wonderful to go on with it. Now then, the next thing that David described, we're still talking about commandments. He tells us what his commandments are. Now, it's like he's testifying. After he is shown his will concerning them, the operation of his will concerning the commandments of God, well, then he tells us what they are, and so that they'll provoke a hunger and a thirst in your heart. All right, let's see what the commandments are, and we see it a little faster. Now, I never put the words of God together. I didn't write these four things in here. I didn't write these four things over here.
Right.
People, a lot of times, they go around and say, oh, that's Sister Hicks' impression. She just put that all together. She just twisted that all up. Well, I'm sure a great twister if I can twist the Word of God into the cross of Jesus Christ everywhere I look. I sure am a miracle-working person, huh?
Amen.
Now, what are the commandments? Let's look at them and see they're a character. All right, let's start in verse 86. That's the first one describing the commandments. And he said, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Oh my. He said the commandments are faithful. Oh, I give him Sister Billy. She doesn't mind the use of her as an example. What did she do? Friday night, I guess it was. We went by there about 12 o'clock at night. But God said that to go. Bless her heart, she was still up and the lights were on. And she was just scared to death and just living in fear. And we went in. What did we do? We took her a little bread and the humility of Jesus. And she went in, and, oh my, and knelt down after we left and lifted up her hands under the commandments of God. And begin to eat at the bread of humility. And beloved, she found them faithful. They are faithful. I just challenge you to try them.
Yes.
They are faithful. They'll never fail you. You just eat of them, and they'll work whatever you have need of being worked in your heart and life.
Yes.
And I'll tell you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's no comparison to it. To be able to lay your head down and go to rest with love and joy and peace flowing in your soul. Money can't buy that. Man can't give it to you. The devil can't take it away from you. They are faithful. They are faithful. Now then, let's turn on and let's see the next thing. In 143, as we've already found, David's already testified in 143 there, he said, trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delight. The commandments are delight. Notice that, not just delight, but delight. Why, what is delight? When you delight, what do you do? Oh, it's that superb joy and ecstasy and thrill that fills your heart. The The world could be falling down around about you, and you're delighted in the commandment of God.
Yes,
as I was telling the folk there, and my husband can bear witness, because he lived there in the house with me, but he wasn't with me when God did this thing for me in the Second World War when I went to New Orleans. You've heard me testify about how that I couldn't find a place to live, and nobody wanted me, and I started threatening and kind of getting mad. Well, I just plain mad, if you want to know the truth. I didn't say nothing to him, but I was a stirring inside my soul. You can be mad and never open your mouth. Did you know that? You can be all worked up and never open your mouth. And I was all worked up. I was just a churning. And I thought, this is a fine state of affairs. My husband ready to go and give his life for the country and for the protection. And then not even merciful enough to give me a place to stay with my two-year-old baby. And so I waited there 3 days. God had sent me there. And nothing was opening up. Listen, when the Spirit is leading you and nothing's opening up, there's something of you in the way that's blocking and hindering God working. Did you know that? So no use of blaming the people, because beloved, God is God. Look to Him. Don't look to the people. Look to Him. And God, as the old colored brother said, He's a way maker.
Amen.
And so here we were living in this little dingy hotel room, the only place we could find. And the mosquitoes were so big and so thick. And this is the truth. I had to leave my light on all night long and put a big fan on my baby and still stay awake most of the night beating the mosquitoes off of her so they wouldn't eat her up. And so I was really disgruntled. I couldn't find a place to stay. And finally I had enough spiritual sense even in those days. Even though I didn't understand all of this that I'm preaching to you this morning, I had the principle. And I'm telling you, the commandments are faithful and the delights are wonderful. They come when you get a hold of the bread of His commandments.
Amen.
I got on my knees that third morning. I took my Bible. Didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so God couldn't speak in any of those realms to me. But bless God, I'm going to tell you, you're without excuse. If all you've got the Word, that's still enough for you. Until God can bring you up and get you something else. I took my Bible. I got out on my knees. And I said, Lord, there's something wrong. You told me to come here. I know it's not your fault. I said, Lord, would you show me? I said, speak to me out of the Word. People used to make fun of me, laugh and scorn, because I said God spoke to me out of the Word. They thought that was such a silly, ridiculous thing. But many times when I got there and cried for God to speak to me, He caused the Word to fall open. And it was through the Spirit of God that He caused the birds to leap out of this page, it seemed like, and leap right up into my heart and into my mind, and would show me and directed the way that I should take him. And God opened the Word there to me in a psalm there somewhere, and it said, put all thy trust in me. And I didn't have to have a blueprint to see what was wrong. It was just like God pulled back the curtain, and I saw my murmuring, I saw my fretting, I saw my complaining, I saw my anger. And I said, Lord, I put my trust in you. I've been looking to the people to give me something, but I look to you, and I look to Jesus that day. And you talk about Shandaya. What did I do? I repented. I ate the bread of humility. And when I went out that morning, you talk about the light in my soul. I knew God had to bring me a place down out of heaven. I was going to have a place before the day was over. You can believe it or not, but it's still so.
Yeah.
God spoke out of heaven to me. Just as plain as I'm talking to you. And He showed me where to go in that city. And He gave us a place, a nice little four-room house. It was nobody but God. But beloved, I had to eat of the bread of humility. And when I ate of the bread of humility, then I began to get a little delight of the resurrected Christ in my soul. Well, I tell you, I just rejoiced as I went to that place and went there to this grocery store. The aunt lived upstairs there. And I inquired if there was a place for rent. She said, no. She said, my niece lives with me. She's got a house over here. But there's no use of you waiting around, because it's already been rented, and the officer of the Navy has rented and paid 3 months' rent in advance. And she said, if you want to wait, though, you can. I said, if you don't mind, I'll wait. To sit down on an old Coca-Cola crate there in the grocery store. My baby is sleeping in my arms and my soul delighted. I know, beloved, that His commandments are delight.
Amen.
You'll need them. And when there's delight in your soul, the devil can't get near you with doubt and unbelief. You just sit there delighted. and rejoicing at what God's going to do. And my, as I sat there, and Tyler, the girl came back late in the afternoon. In the meantime, the officer that had rented the house come rushing in, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't take the house." He said, "I've got to give it up. Just got a telegram from a wife, and if she's sick, and I got to go home." And the aunt said, "Here's somebody else here waiting to land." And his eyes got big as saucers. He said, "They couldn't know. I didn't even know myself I was going to give it up. But my father knew."
Hallelujah.
And I'll tell you, first, if you eat of the bread, if you use humility, humble yourself. Quit looking at the other fellow and humble yourself. And ask God to show you where the trouble is in you. And then you'll begin to get the bread of the might. Well, I'll tell you, money can't buy it. Bless God. And it's just so wonderful. Let's turn on. In 151, we see something else. They're not only the might, beloved, joy, and rejoicing in your heart, but there's something else here. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Praise God. Oh my. Isn't it wonderful to have the truth? You know, the truth will sanctify. Jesus said, "Father, sanctify with thy word. Thy word is truth." Oh, beloved, his commandments are true, and they're truth, and they'll sanctify doubt and fear and unbelief and everything else out of you. Just get the truth in your heart. And the word of God and the Holy Ghost is the only one that can put truth into your heart. Now then, let's look and see what else the commandments are in 172. My, what an experience that David had here with the Lord. No wonder that God said that David was a man after his own heart. And so we find the commandments are faithful. They're delight. Oh, they'll produce joy and ecstasy in your soul. And they're truth. And then they are righteousness. Down in 172. He said, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." What is righteousness, beloved? We've studied it before. I've just abbreviated there. So there's the four things of what the commandments are. Another little stature of truth. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right being, right thinking, right doing, right in every form of your being, inside and outwardly. That's why Jesus is the only one that's righteous. The word says that our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags in the sight of God. There are a lot of people trying to get to heaven this morning, clothed in the fig leaves that Adam and Eve sewed together. You know, after they sinned and they lost the glory and they lost the covering that God had given unto them, beloved, and they stood stripped and undone and sinners, they twined them to sew fig leaves together to make them a cover.
Amen.
And you know what those fig leaves represent? The works of their own hands. There are a lot of religious folk this morning that are in church busy sewing their fig leaves together, trying to sew up their garments of righteousness so they can stand before God. Beloved, there's only one that has the righteous garment, and that's Jesus Christ. And we get that garment through faith in His precious blood. And He's got a garment for us this morning. Isaiah cried out that we are all as an unclean thing. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And our righteousnesses, all the good things you can do, are filthy rags in the sight of God. Can you tell me why? Because, beloved, everything that man does apart from God in his own self is for his own exaltation.
Amen.
If you could sew together your own cloak of righteousness, then you could be like the Pharisee. He had one sewed together, didn't he? And what was his attitude? He looked way down his nose and he said, "God, I thank you I'm not like that poor publican over there. Well, I'm just the wonderful and the good and that poor publican, he come up there and he felt so unworthy. He saw his need. He thought he didn't have a garment, and he didn't even feel like lifting his hands up to heaven to look into the face of God, as it were. But he just beat himself on his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, "Which one of those men went down to the house justified?" Oh, he said, "I tell you, the publican went down to his house justified." Because he humbled himself. Oh, and he repented, and God could give him a cloak of righteousness. Beloved, it's a gift that word says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, if you could do it yourself, then you could boast and lift yourself up. And you could gloat over your brother or your sister. But beloved, it's one thing about it. If you've got a robe this morning, and if I've got a robe this morning, we all got it the same way.
Yes.
Back on down our knees and humbling ourselves.
Yes.
And Jesus, and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Jesus' sake. And when you humbled yourself, then he gave you the robe.
Yes.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't he wonderful?
Yes.
Let's hurry up here. I've always said, well, maybe that's a good place to have to stop there. I've so much more to get through. I'll tell you the rest of it, and then we'll study it next time. We'll study David's prayer concerning the commandments. Oh, they are so precious to David. You know, if you love something, you're going to pray for it. You're going to pray about it. If you know that, you're going to be concerned about it. And David had a vision. Even though he had all this worth in him about the commandments, he still had a greater desire to know more about. And he prayed, oh how he prayed about the commandments. And then last of all, we're going to see the effect of the commandments in David's life. So there's a little stature of truth. It touched David's will. He got acquainted with the nature. He could describe what the commandments were. And then he loved them so much that he prayed that God would help him to lay hold of them more. I don't care how much we've laid hold of this morning. Beloved, God is a mighty big God. Did you know that? The Bible says the heavens and the earth can't contain you. So beware lest you be caught in a spiritual net of self-righteousness and pride, thinking that you can contain all of God in your little finite mind. Well, I tell you, God is such a big God that he's going to be all eternity revealing himself unto us. And so, my, let's not get stalled this morning with our spiritual self-righteousness, but let's humble ourselves and recognize our need of more of God. Oh, I'm so glad for Jesus this morning and the reality of following him. And I tell you, he'll work something in your heart and life that'll be so wonderful that you just wouldn't trade for all the world if you'll just go on with him. How many of you understand a little bit of what we're talking about? Let's bow our heads.
This is the end of Sermon R2R21.